baby. And
I
don't ever
wanna lose it. I gotta let this ride, y'all.
I can't get enough.
I gotta let it ride.
Touch that shit that make me go. I can't get enough.
I gotta let it ride.
I can't get enough of your magic touch. That shit that make you go.
Oh.
It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, I had to let that ride,
it's so
family.
Good to me. It's so good.
That's a group
it's
called so Tuxedo. Good. It's so good. What's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as King Flex. Y'all know who I am. Y'all know how I do it. Y'all know why I'm here. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, is brought to you by the Runway Boys Flight Club. That's an international clothing company. It represents the traveling lifestyle. Now, this clothing company was founded in 2005. The Runway Boys, they started off as a group of active duty Air Force members, and they traveled the globe together, and they got their fashion swag on. So you need to go to runwayboys.com, and you spell boys with a Z. RUNWAYBOYZ, runwayboys.com. Get that fresh gear. Use the coupon code MEMORIAL at checkout and get 20% off on your purchase, ladies and gentlemen. Now, family, we're going to have people call up. I want to hear from the fam. We're going to chop up some real good game tonight. We're going to spit some ism. Spit some of that good ism tonight. The phone number for all the people listening live is 818-850-5404. Call in with your questions. And we're going to take a real quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen, so you don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after these quick messages.
A system has been built for our people to practice group economics. Check out r-stones.com. r-stones.com is a network community for Black and African people to practice group economics. We are the rejected stones that all others refuse to build with. That's why the website is called r-stones.com. At r-stones.com, you can meet other people in your area or around the world to partner with and invest in businesses or real estate. Go to r-stones.com.
What's going on, family? This is Tariq Elite Nasheed, and I'm going to be doing a live lecture in Philadelphia on July 5th, 2015 at the International House of Philadelphia. Now, that's at 3701 Chestnut Street, Philadelphia, 19131. Doors open at 6 o'clock. It's going to end around 10 o'clock. I'm doing a live lecture. I'm going to be chopping up a lot of good games, so I want to see your face in the place. That's July 5th. International House of Philadelphia. Get your tickets now at TariqLive.com. That's TariqLive.com.
Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
I am delivered!
Oh, we're back. We're back right here on Tariq Elite Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, glad to have everybody tuning in. Don't forget, not only am I going to be in Philly on July 5th, I'm also going to be in Atlanta doing a lecture on July 11th, that's Saturday. Tickets go on sale next week for the Atlanta lecture. And I will also be in Detroit doing a lecture July 18th. You can get tickets for that right now and tickets for Philly at TariqLive.com. And speaking of lectures, check out my latest lecture called International Racism. You can check that out. Streaming live. Well, not live, but it's streaming. Instant download. You can get that at TariqRadio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, shout out to everybody in the chat room who's listening live on Ustream. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call in so we can chop it up. Let's see who we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tariq? It's John out of Toledo, Ohio.
John out of Toledo. What's on your mind, John?
Hey, I'm a big listener, big fan. And I was wondering, I got a quick question. I heard you say, like, post-testing isn't really effective. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, but, you know, I was wondering, like in Baltimore, they kind of started out protesting, but then it jumped off into some gangster shit. Now, in a way, that protest was kind of effective then. In that case, wouldn't it be?
No, because they protested in Cleveland and didn't get into no gangster shit, and you see, nothing happened. The gangster shit made something happen. That's why they had to come out and say, hey, we're going to have to prosecute some of these cops because of the gangster shit. Don't get it twisted.
Hold on, brother.
What the hell is that noise in the background, brother? Sound like you're the Terminator.
Oh. I'm at work.
Okay.
I'm at the Jeep factory.
Okay.
I'm making Jeeps right now.
God damn, brother. You sound like you work at Chuck E. Cheese on the kiddie train or something, man. You driving kids around to get some pizza. Well, that noise, but okay. The noise is really throwing me off. But like I said, the protesting, that brings a little attention, but it's not effective. People don't care about protesting. People only understand when you fight fire with fire. You understand? And it's the uprising and the messing up of the money that's the thing that gets the attention of the dominant society. And that happened in Ferguson. People messed up. The money got messed up out there in Ferguson. Even Ferguson to this day, they have a negative vibe. They have a negative outlook of Ferguson. Also in Baltimore, they started losing a lot of money because nobody was going to those games. There was a curfew. So the city started losing money because people were turned up. So that's why they always like to promote peaceful protests, because they know that that's not effective. That's why they like to promote Selma and march peacefully, because that means that they're going to maintain power. So we got to stop listening to the dominant society tell us what to do and how to react to them practicing systematic white supremacy, because they're not peaceful, the white supremacists. So we got to stop listening to them tell us how to react to them. You understand? All right, go back to making those Jeeps, brother. Those Jeep sounds are killing me, man. I have you call back, brother. I can't deal with that horn in the back, brother. Thank you. God damn. Oh, that sound in the back was killing me. I'm y'all hear me yelling and I'm raising my voice trying to talk over that goddamn choo-choo train horn. Go back to work, brother. Get your money. What's up? Who's calling?
This is DJ King James of Mississippi.
DJ King James, what's on your mind, fam?
Man, I was just wondering, have you talked about that Kayla Chapman of Kansas, 17-year-old, that got in an accident with that councilman, that white councilman?
Oh, yeah. Now, what's the deal on that? I seen some information on that. Now, what's the whole gist of that thing?
I was really wanted you to elaborate on it. I was checking out the story on melanoidnation.org.
Right. My writers put that up, but I thought that you had some more inside information on it. But everybody, go to melanoidnation.org if you want to read that story. Thanks for the call, fam. Okay, I'm thinking this brother wanted to elaborate more on the story. And I'm going to talk about some of the other Melanoid Nation stories that's out right now. As a matter of fact, there's a story that we put up, man, of some cops in Chicago. A picture surfaced of them. They had a black male suspect, and the picture is old. The picture was like in the early 2000s, and it just recently surfaced because the law enforcement there, they covered it up. But they had this black man, they put some antlers on his head, and they had him on the ground, and they had these guns. They were standing over him like he was a wounded deer, like he was a wounded animal. It was real sickening to see this picture, but that's how the white supremacists view us, and that's a harsh reality black folks got to wake up to. Hey, man, what's up? Who's calling?
What's up, Tariq?
What's up? Who's this?
This Chris out of Virginia.
Chris out of Virginia. What's on your mind, man?
Not much, man. I just want to say I'm a big fan, man. I just came from Spain. I do a lot of traveling with my job and everything, man. It was a real... I mean, I know you've been out to Spain and everything. It was a real good vibe out there, though, as far as I've seen.
Yeah.
I was in Rota, Spain, and a lot of places like that. But I had a question, though, man. It's like a little related to the question.
Go ahead.
I met a girl out there, man, and she seemed like she's feeling me. You know what I mean? We talking. And I live here. She live out there. So and we've been vibing. We've been talking a lot. You know, I hit it and everything.
Oh, you hit it while you were out there?
Yeah, I hit it while I was out there. I was about a week. I hit it about two times. We've been talking since
okay.
then.
Okay.
So I wanna know if it's like, I'm feeling, I'm like, is it worth bringing her out here? Because she's, like, say we get serious. I'm talking to her. We talk all the time. So I'm like, is it worth bringing her back out here if we kick it, if we vibing like that? Or you think she's trying to just give up on a green card or what?
Well, you know, Spain is not really a third world type of country, so they're doing pretty good out there. So her coming out here, yeah. I don't think it's that much of a come up because Spain is real. It's nice out there. Like Madrid is beautiful. It's real nice out there. What part of Spain is she from? Is she from like one of those small villages, like in Andalusia?
Well, she actually from the Dominican Republic, but she moved.
Oh,
to Spain.
Oh, there we go. Now we talk. Okay, there we go. That brings way more clarity to the situation now. Because I met some Dominican sisters when I was out there. And and this is for your Dominican chick, by the way. I got a little song for her. That's for you and her, by the way.
Come on, man.
So when you were hitting it, did you hear this sound? Did you hear the music going?
Yeah, man.
My nigga heard.
But
I was saying, when I was out there, I saw a lot of Dominican females out there, and they look real good. A lot of Dominican sisters out there.
Oh, she's fine as hell.
I believe it. I saw some fine Dominican sisters out there. And my thing is, you got to understand, is he trying to come up on a green card? Because the Dominicans kind of have it rough out there. They don't get treated like the Spanish. That's another thing. They don't get treated like the Spanish. They are kind of a outcast to a certain degree, but they still can get over there and get a little paper. But you know, she might be trying to get her American game on, so she might be trying to holler at you about that hookup, or she might be trying to get an anchor baby or something like that. So that's something that you do have to keep into consideration. You dig?
True. Yeah, I see.
Just really understand her intentions. Has she been to the States before?
No, she hasn't. She has not. She lived in the Dominican Republic. She went to school and everything. Now she out in Spain working and all that stuff.
Yeah, you got to be careful, man, because look, she throw that pussy on you real heavy, and you singing Wepa, and you all sprung, and she's talking all that fly Dominican shit, and she get over here, and boy, she get that visa, and her ass get over here and get ghost. Her ass go to Washington fucking Heights and New York somewhere, and you don't ever see her ass again, nigga. Her ass own a bodega.
So, yeah, I don't want that, man. Yeah, but I mean, that would be the risk I would be taking if, you know, I fall out around here. Whatever.
Yeah, but you know her intentions more than us. I would say just be careful. You feel me?
Appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Much respect, fam. All right, man. Y'all be careful, man. Don't let these women use you as a come-up, bro. Nigga, she get that green card, she come out here, she act like she don't know his ass. She be at the club, dancing her ass off. I don't know him. I not know him. I single. Wepa. I single. Wepa. Wepa. Shit. So don't let these motherfuckers come up on you, fam. Do not let them come up on you. Let me see who else was on the phone. What's up? Who's calling? Hello?
Hello?
Yo, what's up, player?
What's happening?
Well, who is this?
Am I on the radio?
Nigga, yes. Who is this?
What up, Sean?
Who is this, man?
It's Demetrius, nigga.
Demetrius? Who the fuck is Demetrius? You act like I know who damn Demetrius is.
Is this Sean Calloway? This D, bro.
This ain't no Sean Calloway. Sean Calloway's the homie. Why are you calling this show? Sean is the homie.
Did. No. I apologize. You sound just like Sean, or Sean sounds just like you, brother. No disrespect.
No, okay. This is the Tariq Elite Show, brother. You thought you were calling somebody else?
Well, sir, I was trying to actually get in your show. I've been trying to reach your show, man. I can't never see him to get through, and I was actually shocked when I got through.
Okay, there you go. So you're in Birmingham, right? Because you know Sean's.
I am, sir.
What part of Birmingham you in, man?
Man, I'm over here in West End. I'm over here in Homewood right now, but I'm really from Winona and lived in West End.
Okay, yeah, that's my old stomping grounds. That's my old spot.
I remember you, bro. I have mad respect, man. I remember you from back in the day, bro.
Yes, indeed, man. So what's on your mind, D?
Ain't nothing in particular, man. I will, since I'm on the phone. I'm much proud of you, man. I love what you did with Hidden Colors, man. You snapped.
Yes,
real
sir.
Talk. You went the hell off, man.
Yeah, man. Much respect on that, man. What's happening out in Birmingham right now, man?
We ain't the brothers, man. Same. Ignorant, dumb, deaf, and blind, man. Killing each other.
Wow. Man, hey, man. Anyway, man, thanks for the call, fam. All right, somebody from Birmingham wanted to give a shout-out. Shout-out to that brother. You dig? The number to the show, for people who don't know, is 818-850-5404. That's the number to call in live right now, family. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, man? It's Darius, man, from Toledo, Ohio, man. What's up?
What's up, Darius from Toledo? What's on your mind, fam?
Nothing much, man. He just spoke to my big brother, John. He was at work, man.
Okay. Okay, so you wanted to elaborate on what he was saying?
Yeah, I have my own question, because he said he was calling talking about the peaceful protest and all that, and we kind of differ on that idea. It's like we go to, there's groups in our city, and we got our own group, but a lot of them kind of do it for the showboat type deal. They get in front of the cameras and the media, and we like, that's cool. Go ahead, get the groundswell, get the people. But it's like, what do we do with them? Because right. With our organization, we take ex-drug dealers, you know what I'm saying, people who really messed up, people that's out here living this shit. We take them and we pull them in and try and have them take the skills that they learn and actually put that in the business model so that we can actually change their reality. So it's like he's saying, my big brother John, he's saying, well, we should get behind them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We should go with this idea. We should get behind them and sit at the table with them and try and build. But it's like, they so full of shit. Like, I heard you say before, when you stand on truth, it's hard to refute it. You can't speak against truth.
Yeah.
So when we act, it's like we're speaking to the conditions, to our social conditions, and we like, okay, you got people, and you got 200-300 people, and they say, oh, what's up with this Black Lives Matter shit? And everybody there, and they ready to hear some knowledge, and they saying the same shit from 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, bro, it's cool. We I don't want to tell the brothers, pull your pants up, put the guns down. I'm telling them, hey, bro, you don't need to do that shit. If you a drug dealer, you damn near a businessman. You running 5-6 people, y'all handling the business. Y'all got a product, taking a commodity and running with it. They like, well, that's too extreme. So my question to you, coming to you and asking you for advice, is like, do we join them or do we completely obliterate them? That's my thing.
The only people you join are the people who are talking about doing something to empower the community. That's the only thing we need to be talking about right now. What are we going to do to empower our communities economically? That's the only thing we need to discuss, because everything else is just bullshit at this point. And when you start talking about economic empowerment, then people get to fiddling and twiddling and diddling and then slacking off. So that's why I had a recent think tank, and we had a great, great think tank the other night with brothers talking some real good game and some real good solutions on what we need to do. And that's what we need to have more of, people putting their heads together, being serious about what we need to do about getting some economic footholds in these cities. Well, I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on that. So listen in, brother. Thank you for the call. My thing is this, with the protest, the protests would be effective if they were people out here protesting for the right reasons. The problem with protests now has become an attention-whoring event. Basically, protesting is about niggas getting camera time. Every time I look at certain things that go down in certain cities, and then they bring the cameras out there, niggas out there dancing, shucking and jiving, laughing, joking. It's too much of that goofy shit going on now with these so-called protests. There are protests going on and niggas out there throwing their mixtapes up in the camera. Niggas just doing the Michael Jackson. It turns into some goofy plantation shit where niggas just want to be seen. And that's later for that. That's why they don't mind you protesting, because they know that Black folks are attention starved. They know that most of us are just desperate for a little attention and acknowledgement by white mommy and white daddy. So that's why they'll say, go protest all day long. Go out there with your signs. We'll send little Don Lemonade out there to interview a couple of you. We'll have you yell and scream and all that attention whoring. And then once you get that out your system, you got what you wanted. We're going to go right back to the business of white supremacy. So my thing is, what are you doing to challenge and replace the system of white supremacy with the system of justice? That's what it all boils down to. So I'm not a big fan of just protesting all the time. I'm a big fan of getting together, putting your heads together with people in the community and figuring out ways to empower that community and figure out ways to trust each other to empower that community. That's why I'm going to be talking a lot about that on my Code of Conduct tour this summer. Go to TariqLive.com to get more info on that. Let's see who's on this phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hi, this is Kiera.
Hey, Kiera, how are you, love?
Hi, I have a question.
Go ahead, Kiera.
It's a relationship question.
Good, no problem.
Okay, so I start dating this guy, and everything goes great. I knew him for a long time, and we recently reconnected. So he takes me on this trip to Mexico, you know, pays for the whole thing, flies us out there, pay for the food and everything. So when we get back to Atlanta, and he tells me he used the money he was going to get used to get an apartment on the trip. So this is even after I had told him I'm going to be his girlfriend. So now we're
Wait. Let's back up a little bit. Let's back up just a little bit. So before y'all went to Mexico, y'all were not boyfriend and girlfriend, or did y'all establish that you were boyfriend and girlfriend before you went to Mexico?
No, only after Mexico.
Okay, so after Mexico, y'all said, okay, well, look, we're a couple, because he basically beat up the taco, so to speak, when he was out there in Mexico, right?
Yeah, he had asked me on the last day after, you know, he'd been paid for the trip and, you know, paid for everything. So we get back to Atlanta.
But when y'all were in Mexico, what part of Mexico y'all go to? Cancun?
Yeah.
Okay. Very nice spot. I've been there. So y'all got it in. Y'all got busy and y'all had relations. Was that the first time y'all had relations when y'all went to Mexico, or have y'all had relations before then?
No, we didn't even have relations. That's the thing.
Wait, he didn't hit it in Mexico?
No.
Man, hold on, Kiera. Hold on. A brother done took somebody all the way to Cancun. You out there going to Carlos and Charlie's, buying them tequila shots. He's buying you all types of burritos and enchiladas and rice. And y'all walking on the beach, getting drug deals offered to you by the Mexicans out there. I've been out there before. I know how they get down.
Yeah, because I had told him I wanted to wait a few months, and he said, you know, he's cool with it.
Okay, but look.
So will I be in a relationship with him?
Okay, what did something happen out there? Cancun is very romantic, especially at night.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all had some drinks up in you. Something happened.
I mean, he went down.
Thank you. There we go.
There you go.
That was it. All right. Now, he ate more than one taco. Got it. Okay, so you probably went down on him too, but you're trying to play the little good girl. He had a taco, you had a burrito. All right, so you got back to Atlanta, and what happened?
He tells me that he used all his money that he's supposed to be moving into a new apartment. He said he spent the money that we went on a trip. Well, he spent the money that he was going to use on an apartment on the trip.
Okay.
So now I have my own apartment, and he kind of lingers around, making me feel guilty, like I should ask him to move in.
And
so now I'm trying to question, is he really looking for help or a relationship?
This nigga sound like he's looking for a roommate. That nigga was, he was eating coochie for shelter. That nigga was eating coochie to get a roof over his head.
I feel like I was bamboozled into a relationship, because I'm thinking, like, he's financially secure. We get back, now he's sleeping in his studio.
Oh, damn.
Making a mixtape.
Oh, damn. So you had a low-key dusty nigga who probably won a trip to Cancun from doing a goddamn timeshare tour or something.
And I just need to know, what should I do, because...
Now, whatever you do, don't move in. Don't let the dude move in. Don't let that happen.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and don't let him guilt trip you, talking about he spent his rent money and all that, the money he was going to move in, because you didn't ask him to take you to Mexico. I'm assuming.
Exactly.
I'm assuming.
I didn't.
He volunteered that. So don't let that nigga bring over his toothbrush and his wave cap and all that old shit and try to post up in your spot. You got to kind of let him know that I think you need to kind of back off a little bit, because now the dude sounds like the dusty nigga trying to get the little come up on. He's trying to, he was looking for a person to call his girlfriend so now he can save money on his little rent and spend on his mixtape and all that old shit. So he's trying to
and it seemed like he's getting really clingy, because like, if I don't text back in 2 hours, he was in like 4 text messages, and you know, he's a little insecure.
Oh, Lord. Now, have y'all never had sex yet?
Oh, no, not yet.
Okay, now, because if you give this nigga some ass, man, how is he going to act now? If you really give him some ass, you know, because you done already, he done lick you, and I know you done suck.
But something. The thing is, I knew him, like, for years since college, so now.
That don't mean nothing. No, like, knowing somebody and being in a relationship with them, two different things. People are totally different when they're in a relationship with you. You see a whole different side of people once they're in a relationship with you. You understand? So with this dude, you're going to have to slow it down. You're going to have to really, really slow it down and see what this guy's agenda is. Because now when dudes start using the whole guilt trip game on you, that's something you got to watch out for. You understand? Because that's very deceptive and that's very manipulative. When people say, oh, I spent my rent money taking you to Cancun. I ain't got nowhere to stay. That sounds like a whole drama drag game that man had going on. And rent ain't that much. Y'all in Atlanta, man. Rent ain't that much. What the fuck does this nigga do? He needs to be out there grinding. Rent is not that much in Atlanta for a motherfucker to be on his ass. How old is he down there? How old is he?
He's 28 and I'm 25.
Okay. Well, again, like I said, I would say just kind of watch and see where the guy, where he's really, really coming from. And he's already sounding clingy. So you just pump your brakes a little bit. And don't move too fast with this, because you might be, he probably licked some confusion in you. You know, sometimes when you let a nigga go down on you, they'll lick a little confusion in you. You don't know how to think. So kind of get clarity. Yeah. Let the man get his mouth off your ass for a little while, and then think about the situation before you jump in it, all right?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call, young lady. I think they might have done something. You know, when women say, oh, we ain't do nothing, but when you keep probing, well, he went down on me. It always happens like that. I love when women try to act like they ain't do nothing. I've been to Cancun, man. Cancun is romantic. It's something in the air that makes you bend over and bust it open. I know something happened. Something got ate or licked and sticked something. You dig? You ain't going all the way down there to Mexico and ain't doing nothing. And I think he might have put the tip in. All right, let's see who's on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up?
What's up? Who is this?
What's up? This is D-Block, Columbus, Ohio.
What's up, D-Block from Columbus? What's on your mind, fam?
Hey, man, I just wanted to kind of chop it up with you for a sec. With all this racial tension that's going on, man, it doesn't seem like interracial dating seems to be the business right now. I say that because I'm married to a white woman, and I get a lot of dirty stares and shit, but I'm not cooning, you know what I mean? Like, I just, you know, my girl donated to Hidden Colors and shit, like, we watch all the stuff, you know, we, you know, down with the movement and everything, but it doesn't really seem to be a place for, you know, people who are conscious, but, you know, I happen to fall in love with a white chick, I don't even really... Before her, I never really even dated white chicks.
Right.
So it just, you know, it's been kind of crazy. Like, ah, you a coon? I'd be like, you know, I know it looks like that from the outside, but trust me, I know what side when shit goes down, I know what side I'm on.
Right, and that's my thing. I don't knock anybody for who they date as long as you're not confused. Because a lot of times when black folks date interracially, we get real confused. And very few of us can really hold on to our self-knowledge and our self-awareness and understand what's really going on when we date interracially. As long as you understand the situation you're in, you date whoever you want to date, as long as you're not confused. But the problem is, we got niggas out here, they'll start dating white women or Asian women, and then they'll start talking about, well, racism ain't too bad. White supremacy ain't that bad. What about black-on-black crime? They get to ride in the cool train. You did?
Nah, it's nothing like that. Listen, she's got a, you know, pretty decent job where she can do some hiring. And she's actually a program coordinator. She put all brothers on, like all brothers. And they would, you know, they wanted to trip on her at first, but her team is so strong, they've been really handling business.
Yeah.
But she put about 7 or 8, you know, all melanin rich brothers on, and she understands the game. And I think we need to make, you know, low T, she's like a bed wench, but for niggas, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't put her on the game, and she really doesn't fuck with a lot of white people because a lot of them are racist.
Right.
But, I mean, not on, like, I don't fuck with, you know, I hate my white skin or nothing like that, but she understands the game, and, you know, all of her people are melanin rich, you know what I mean? Right. Like, she was raised by a melanin rich woman. Her mom had passed away at a young age. Her mom's friend was a sister, so she pretty much raised her, so... You know, we got everything. You know, my daughter, she takes real good care of my daughters. I had daughters from another marriage. She can do their hair and all of that.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I don't know. I guess wanted to put that out there. Like, every nigga that dates, you know, a white woman isn't a cool. You know, I know what it is. I know, you know, the agenda that's going on and everything. It just kind of puts me in a weird situation. Like, man, you know, I'm sitting up here with this white woman. Niggas is getting shot. I'm not, we all shall overcome. You know, I'm tired of seeing my brothers getting hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We both are.
Yeah, you know, I'm not knocking you, man, because my thing is a lot of brothers out here, when they get into this shit where they specifically go out to date non-black people, that's something else. Now, you just happen to meet somebody who was cool, y'all vibe, happen to be a white chick, happen to be an Asian, happen to be a man. All right, I get that. They can't knock that. But just as long as ain't no cooning vibe and you understand that you still need to, you know, empower yourself, empower those in the melanoid community, that's all good. And also, make sure that she ain't no double agent, too. You dig? Because a lot of times...
Right. Definitely. You know, that's how it has to be.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I made sure I qualified her. We've been together about 8 years now.
Yeah.
She helped me. I mean, when I was going through my first divorce, you know, lost my first house and going through bankruptcy, I done got back all the way back on my feet, and she held me down, and she's been down for the cause 100%, man.
Wow.
I just, you know.
There you go.
I guess there's some good ones out there. Now, I mean, I'm not saying the majority either, because we go through a lot of bullshit, and she recognizes it. She's actually gotten a few white people fired on that racist shit, where they've been thought they could say some slick shit, not knowing all her family is, you know, brothers and shit.
Right. There you go. Hey, man, I'm all for that. If she's down and she ain't on some bullshit and you ain't on no bullshit, that's what it is, man. Thanks for the call, fam. Yes, indeed. Let's see who else is on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Yeah, I'm hanging off of Flex, man, calling from Fort Washington, Maryland.
Hey, man, what's going on up there in Washington, Maryland, brother?
Man, it's beautiful, bro. Man, I just got to get to... to take Flex, man. My name is Tim Black, bro. I just came back from the Dr. Phil show, man. I met with Shanisha Taylor, and I gave her the business, man. And I wanted to know, what's your insight on that, man? A couple brothers called me cooning because I called her out, man. You know, the bride that spent the money, man, supposed to take care of the kids, left the kids in the hot car.
Oh, yeah. Wait, which chick is this? Which one is this?
This the one out of Arizona, God. She the one out of Arizona, man. She was supposed to go to jail. We raised the fund for $114,000. The broad ended up spending the money. Now she got 2 felony charges.
Okay, you got to let her have it.
I let her have it on the Dr. Phil, but I did it conservatively,
Hold on, brother.
Wait,
okay. You got to explain who this is. I'm trying to remember. I don't know who this
is.
You're assuming that we know who you're talking about, and I'm trying to figure out who you're talking about. Now, who exactly are you talking about?
Okay. Shanisha Taylor is a lady's name.
Shanisha
Last
Taylor.
Year,
okay.
She kind of hit big, man. It went viral. She was the black woman in Arizona who left her 2 children in a hot car saying she went on a job interview.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah, man. It finally aired. I did a video on it, Flex. It went pretty big, like 500,000 views. CBS called me up. I went down and I shot the video. I had a chance to talk to her.
So you were on Dr. Phil's show?
Dr. Phil's show. It just aired last week, man. Last Thursday.
And what did you say on Dr. Phil?
Man, I asked her point blank. I said, look,
We raised money for you to help you get on your feet. We wanted you to take care of the kids you didn't. What's your explanation for it, basically? And she started giving me all the, you know, well, you know, you don't understand. It was only $100,000 and they wanted me to put this amount of money up. This woman actually said, Flex, I got three kids. I didn't want to put the money up because more than likely they're not going to go to college anyway. They're not going to want to go to college.
Okay. Okay. Now, who got the money? Who raised the money for her, actually? Who did the money raising and all that stuff?
A white lady by the name of Amanda Bishop heard about her story on TV. She started a GoFundMe Now program.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was done out of people all across the country, man, just gave money to support this lady. I'm surprised you don't remember that mugshot, man. She looked like somebody stole her Christmas. She was crying in the mugshot.
Okay, I remember that. I remember that now.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what I would say to you is that I don't think that you should have went on television and y'all did all that bickering. See, y'all falling into the hands of the white supremacists. We're going to have to get codes, and that's part of the new code, brother. We're going to have to get codes like the white supremacists do. They don't get around black folks or other people and bicker with each other. They don't get around other people and even disagree with each other. Even when somebody's in the wrong, they keep their mouths shut. But with us, they will get us and put us in the room, put us in front of millions of people, and have us going at each other's throats. So don't ever do that again. That's part of the code. Because we're going to have to start keeping our mouths shut when we have internal differences and internal beefs. That's a new code that we're going to have to adopt, because it's non-constructive for us to get out there and just kind of showboat for the world and say, hey, look, you ain't shit for spending that money. That's inappropriate. If we get on television, we get that kind of form, we need to start attacking white supremacy. That's what we need to start hollering at, because they will give us big money, and not even money. They will give us all the attention in the world to throw each other under the bus. And that's something that we're going to have to stop doing immediately. Now, I totally disagree with that sister fucking off the money. That's why if it was a setting where it was other black folks and we're talking privately or on my show or whatever, then I give you the business. Because I give black folks the business all the time on my show, because this is like a family thing.
But see, that's the thing, though. Now, look, she has two black children.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying I can't speak to her about abusing her black children unless I do it in a private setting?
Or do it on your own show or whatever. You did, but getting around white folks, sitting up talking about how she ain't shit and what she ain't doing.
That ain't exactly what I said.
You get what I'm saying. Don't ever get around white folks and start throwing another black person under the bus. Under no circumstances do you do that. Because the white supremacists sit up there smirking because you're doing their dirty work. There's a reason why they get you to do it. Because they get to hide behind you. If a white person got out there and said, oh, you degenerate mother, doing that to your kids, they would look like a racist. The racist that they are. But what they do, they will get a black person to do the dirty work for them, and they hide behind you. We're going to have to stop being shields for the white supremacists. You understand that, brother?
I understand what you're saying. I disagree with it, though.
Tell me how you disagree.
I disagree.
Tell me how so.
I disagree because I feel that if I held this woman up publicly, if I supported her publicly, and if I question her actions, I should be able I can big her up publicly, make videos to support her publicly, but now you're saying I can't question her publicly. And I think she's already in the public space. It's not like I dragged her to the show. She got a free ticket to L.A. too.
But basically, man, y'all just doing shit for attention. There's no rhyme or reason. What did y'all get out of it constructive?
I got an opportunity to promote my show and also voice my opinion.
Basically, attention.
Same thing she gets.
Attention, man. That's the thing. Black folks, y'all got to stop just doing shit for attention. We do anything just to be seen. Oh, well, I got promotion for my show.
Just to be seen? This is a business.
It's not a business. It's not even a business.
Seen. What you mean?
It's not even a business.
Your radio show that you hold attracts many people.
It does.
I don't think you're doing it just to be seen. You're doing it for, you got a point of view.
But I'm not just doing or saying anything just to get listeners and hits. That's the thing. And
I'm not. Now you're getting me mixed up with other people now just because you know.
I'm just trying. Other than you getting attention, what constructive did you get out of it?
I've been working at this for years, man, doing my videos and doing, getting my message out.
Black folks, man, we got a habit.
I pick up on news related. I mean, I've done like hundreds of videos. She just happens to be that video
where CBS called me.
But they could have called me for my Tamir Rice. They could have called me for my John Crawford, you know.
Sound like you're just trying to get attention, brother. Brother, sounds like you were just trying to get attention, brother. Sounds like some low-key attention whoring there, brother. You understand? It's like, I'm just glad to be seen. It's that type of shit, which is non-constructive. They'll put you on television to do some non-constructive shit as long as you don't challenge white supremacy. I get offers to get on TV all the time. All the time. And I turn it down if they're not going to let me talk about some real issues. If they want me to sit up and bicker with another black person, I ain't doing that shit at all. That's why I've done international television. And when I get on there, I'm talking about white supremacy. If we're going to talk about race, and that's a very taboo thing because they don't let you on American television if you do that. But black folks understand if you're ready to throw another black person under the bus, they'll give you all the airtime you need. And a lot of black folks are glad to do that because they get attention. You got to get off that, brother. I can't co-sign that, sir.
Wow.
You feel me?
Hey, man, I feel what you're saying. I appreciate your opinion.
There you go, man. I just want you to feel me, brother. This is just constructive talk, man. We just got to get a code because the white supremacists, they don't do that. They don't throw each other under the bus in front of us for no circumstances. Nobody white that I know of have they said anything negative about that judge that let the cop go who shot those folks 130-something times. Nobody in the white community is really throwing Zimmerman under the bus. Nobody's throwing Pandalio under the bus. So they have a code of conduct, and we got to get the same kind of code of conduct. But thanks for the call, fam. Yeah, we got to stop being used by the white supremacists for attention. Black folks, we got this thing about wanting attention. We're so attention starved. We're so attention deprived. Being in a system of white supremacy where you're told that you ain't shit in direct and indirect ways, you're told that you're irrelevant, you're told that you don't matter, you're told that you're insignificant, you're told that you have no voice. Black people are in a childlike state of needing to be validated and needing to be seen, needing to get attention. We got that very bad, man. That's a very bad thing that we have, that we just have to be seen for any reason. And we try to justify it by saying, okay, well, this is a business. It's not a business. Because black folks, man, we'll do shit. We don't even ask for money. As long as we get some attention, we don't need no money. That's what I was talking about earlier. You look at some of these protests, the minute the cameras get out there, everybody's laughing, joking, cutting a goddamn buck dance jig. Everybody's on this attention whoring shit. We just want to be seen. Attention becomes the most valuable thing. Let's see who's calling. We got to get off that. And men and women got to get off that. What's up? Who's calling?
Tariq, what's going on, man? This is B. Clark from Illinois Nation.
Hey, man, what's going on with you, fam?
Man, I'm not going to take too much of your time. I know you got a live audience out here.
Yes,
indeed. Give everybody a shout out.
This is the editor for Melanoid Nation. This is the chief editor of the website. So when y'all see a lot of those wonderful stories on melanoidnation.com, it's my man right here, B. Clark. Excellent journalist, man. What's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and get off here, man. I just want to give everybody a shout out. Keep up the good work, man.
Yes,
and everybody stay tuned in to not only the show, but also Melanoid Nation. We're going to keep that good material coming out. And
let everybody know your Twitter, brother.
Oh, worldofbc.com.
One more time?
Worldofbc.com.
Worldofbc.com, man. Thanks for the call, babe.
Yes, sir.
No doubt. But yeah, like I said, man, we got to start going for substance. In my book, I want y'all to check out my books. Let me talk about my books for a minute, because this ties into my books. All my books are on Amazon and BarnesandNobles.com. Get The Art of Mackin, which is my longtime bestseller. The Mac Within, Player Be Played, all that stuff. Now, my book, Player Be Played, I talked about how attention is a motivating factor for a lot of women. The need to get attention is a motivating factor for a lot of women. Now, that thing has transgressed for men, too. Men have become bigger attention whores than a lot of women. Brothers, black men, because of the effeminization of a lot of black men. When you're in a system of white supremacy, you're not allowed to be a man in the system of white supremacy because you're in a system of subjugation. Psychologically, you're subjugated, and psychologically, you feel less than a man. You are in a either childlike state, a man boy like state. That's why you have a lot of grown boys out here. Or you become effeminized. That's why we have a lot of moist men out here in the black community. There's a moisture epidemic and a childlike epidemic. And you take on a lot of feminine subordinate characteristics, because being subordinate to other men kind of makes you, puts you in a feminine position by proxy. And when you take on feminine characteristics, you start to take on different types of feminine characteristics, not just mannerisms, but just desires. Just like I've criticized a lot of people. You've seen people call up to my show talking about, hey, Tariq, man, some of these athletes, they need to build something in our communities. You hear dudes talking that. You hear a lot of dudes talking that. That's a feminine characteristic to have, wanting another man to take care of you. That's a very feminine characteristic, the desire to have another man take care of you. Man, Floyd Mayweather need to buy us some houses. Man, LeBron James need to build some businesses. The desire to have another man take care of you is by definition feminine. And a lot of brothers be talking that feminine shit, trying to make it sound gangster, trying to act like it's some type of community empowerment thing, but it's really a feminine, moist characteristic to have. And the desire to get attention, which is what women do, because when you get attention, you can attract certain mates and males who can take care of you. That's the psychological advantage of wanting attention that women have. If I have nothing else to bring to the table that will bring me appreciation, and I talked about this in my book, Player Be Played, women want two things. They either want appreciation or they want attention. And you want attention if you don't have anything to be appreciated for. On a base level, you can do something to get attention. And if you get enough attention, you can be taken care of. So there's a practical purpose for women to go for and campaign for attention. But there is no real practical purpose for a man to campaign for attention. There's literally no purpose for it. There's no real rhyme or reason for it. And it's very non-constructive. So when dudes do a lot of dumbass attention whoring shit, it really rolls you back as far as progress, because there's no rhyme or reason for it. Just because somebody's looking at you, it's like, hey, look at me, look at me. Okay, we're looking at you, now what? Well, keep looking at me. If you keep looking at me, that makes me feel good. I matter if you look at me. So eventually people get tired of looking at you, nigga. And then you do more dumb shit to get looked at and get seen. And you coon more and you buck dance more and you shuck and jive more to be seen. So now that basically is the definition of a coon. When a male is campaigning for attention, especially from the dominant society, because nothing is more of a payoff than attention from the dominant society. When white folks look at you and they're giving you some attention, oh, you matter. Life can get no better. And that's like a drug, and cooning is the way to maintain that drug. You know you can constantly get attention from the dominant white society if you're doing some dumb cooning shit where you're jeopardizing and demeaning other black folks and demeaning yourself. So what about black on black crime? That type of shit will get you all the attention you need, especially from the dominant society. So we really got to get off that whole male attention whoring thing. and start going for power. We need power, we need wealth, and we need empowerment. That's what we need, melanoid empowerment. And power is not seen at all times. Power hides itself to a certain degree. That's why, you know what, there are people that I like, some of the people that I idolize, some of y'all may not have even heard of them. Some of the people that I idolize and I study are black folks who know how to play the background and get money. One person, I mentioned his name before on the show, there's a promoter named Al Haymon. Now, he promotes for Floyd Mayweather and other boxers, but Al Haymon, he's been in the business for a long time. He used to promote concerts. I want to say he was the manager for Frankie Beverly and Maze from back in the day. So Alan Heyman's, he's been promoting shows, and he's a real big black promoter. Real low key, though. The dude barely has any pictures out there. You can rarely find pictures of Al Haymon. People in the industry know of him, but this guy's real low key, real under the radar. And he got into the boxing promoting game, and this brother makes money hand over fist, and he helped Floyd Mayweather make money hand over fist. So Al Haymon is the dude, and he's real low key, real quiet about how he gets down. Those are the kind of folks that I like to rock with. They ain't trying to be seen. They ain't trying to buck dance. They're trying to stack paper, get money, be low-key, and be empowered so they can call shots. That's the name of the game. Now, my man brought up the fact. He was like, well, your show is popular. You're popular. You know, I'm a popular person. And it's almost, I don't want to say it's by accident. It's like, people just like to hear what I have to say. I've never actually gone out and said, hey, everybody, listen to me. My whole career has been basically people asking me my opinions, and I give it, and people just kind of gravitate to it. So I don't want to say it's an accident, but if you have something real fly to say, people will just naturally gravitate towards you. Just like with my lectures. Most of my lectures sold out. They sell out. Most of my lectures sell out. We rarely do any promotion. But people just like the realness, and they like the vibe, and they like the energy, and they come on through. So I don't have to buck dance and coon and shuck and jive to get an audience. If you keep it 100, people fuck with you. If you talk about some real shit and you be yourself and you ain't showing out and doing goofball shit, people will genuinely rock with you because that means you create a brand. Creating a brand is very important. Creating a brand is different from trying to get attention. See, attention is basically just doing whatever it takes for some motherfucker to look at you at the moment. You will do anything to be seen. But building a brand is creating a name for yourself and having integrity back up your name. And when people can trust that you have integrity, whenever your name comes up, they'll rock with you. That's called brand loyalty. Just like in the music industry, when you look at certain artists, there's a hot artist at one moment. If they got a hot record, people fuck with you. But that's why we have so many one-hit wonders. You notice a lot of artists come out now and they're one-hit wonders. They got that hot song and then a year later, you don't give a fuck about them. Because they're just a motherfucker with a hot song. There's no brand loyalty there because they're not really consistent. They ain't really bringing that true to the game shit like a lot of the older artists would do. There were artists that you knew like back in the day, like NWA, Rakim, EPMD, LL, Slick Rick. These people, you knew that they would be consistent with their music and they would be thorough with their music. And this is why a lot of these people can still go on tour today and make money. A lot of these older rap artists, they can go on tour to this day and still make paper all around the world. But the thing is, man, you got to create a brand and people have to trust your brand. And people trust your brand by you being yourself, you being true to your game, you being a person of your word, and you're doing everything with integrity. And that's some shit that we miss a lot of times. We go for the quick buck or the quick attention grab. And sometimes you ain't got to be seen all the time. Everything ain't about you being seen. Because people try to pretend being seen is going to somehow translate into money. Niggas will give up money to be seen. There's some niggas out here who will give up every dime just to be seen. Or spend their money just to be seen. They'll go buy a bunch of nigga trinkets and spend all their money on nigga trinkets just so people can look at them more. That's why attention is more important than money to a lot of people out here, especially the coons and bedwinches. These niggas out here will spend their last dime on candy paint and rims to go down to Myrtle Beach and drive around in a circle with Rice Krispie painted on their cars, a Cocoa Puff cereal painted on their cars, driving around with a $1,000 stereo system, $2,000 speakers, so everybody will look at them and then go back to a housing project. Or females will go out here and spend $2,000 on weaves, lace fronts, booty shorts, tattoos, rental cars and hotels, and hydrogel shots so niggas can look at them. They get attention, then go back home to their Section 8 apartment. So we got to stop having these slave-ass priorities, stop going for attention, and start learning how to play the background and go for power. Go for empowerment, go for wealth, something that we can pass down to the next generation, family. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Very good conversation with the family. Don't forget to go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. You can stream Hidden Colors 3 instantly right now at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Don't forget to go to Amazon.com. Amazon has some kind of glitch where they're saying that some of my books are out of stock, but they're not out of stock, family. I'm telling you, if you order, the books will come to you in a couple of days. There's some kind of glitch at Amazon, and I got to remind myself to call them tomorrow to fix that glitch. But you can get my books at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com, The Art of Mac and the Elite Way, The Art of Gold Digging, all that good stuff. And don't forget, join me live on tour, TariqLive.com. I'm coming to Philly July 5th, coming to Atlanta July 11th, coming to Detroit July 18th. I want to see your face in the place, family. It's going to be real. Anyway, y'all, I'm going to holler at you guys. I'm going to see you on Ustream this Sunday. Peace.